Hello, welcome to Aman Podcast. Today, me and Nirvana will talk about an interesting topic, and it's about the stereotypes and prejudices in Serbia and in Kosovo. I am Ariona. I'm a journalist since 2017. I've been working in many medias in Kosovo, and not only. Currently, I'm working in a media in Switzerland. So yeah, Nirvana, what about you?
Hi, hello. My name is Nevena and I'm a social psychologist and currently working at the local NGO in Belgrade. And hopefully you will enjoy this podcast.
Okay, as I said, today we will be talking about stereotypes and prejudices throughout the years based on our conflict history in Kosovo and in Serbia. We have created some narratives, some, let's say, stereotypes that we think, me and Nirvana, I think we should challenge them. Maybe Nirvana
Yeah,
now can
for
explain
sure.
what the stereotypes and prejudices are in the aspect of psychology.
Yeah, of course. It is important to first of all understand what are the differences between stereotypes and prejudice and what actually stereotypes and prejudice are before we combat it so that we know what are we fighting against. When it comes to stereotypes, it can be defined in several ways, and several scholars have different definitions of stereotypes. Some simply define them as beliefs about traits and behaviors of a member of a certain groups. Other scholars define stereotypes as generalization about traits of another group, and those generalizations are usually unjustified. And some scholars really focus on that fact that stereotypes are usually unjustified when they try to define them. We maybe know that there are two types of stereotypes, positive and negative ones. Positive stereotypes are usually focused on some positive traits. For example, when we say that all Asian Americans are smart and good at math, those are positive stereotypes. But for example, when we say that all people from Montenegro are lazy, those would be negative stereotypes. Even positive stereotypes, even though we think are something that's positive, can lead to some negative outcomes. For example, people not being willing to identify as person who is good at math because maybe perhaps they're in some other fields or expertise. They just don't want to be perceived in a certain way just because of their part of a certain group. But what stereotypes are generally doing and why they can be really a bad thing is that they lead to the personalization, and that's what the depersonalization is that we don't perceive someone as a person, as an individual, but as a part of the group. And we ascribe to that person what the characteristics that we ascribe to the group that she is part of. So we don't see his or hers individual traits, individual qualities. We just see her group membership and we perceive her through that, which is of course, a bad thing. When it comes to prejudice, prejudices are social attitudes, and what that means is that they have three components: cognitive, and stereotypes are actually a cognitive component of prejudice. So belief about a certain group or members of a certain group. But where prejudice and stereotypes differ is the fact that prejudice have emotional component attached to it as well. So usually those emotional components refer to some really strong negative emotion toward other group. And what is especially detrimental when it comes to prejudice is that they have that behavioral component, which is also discrimination of other group that we perceive as a negative, that we have a strong negative affections towards. stereotypes as they are do not define that we will inherently have a better relationship toward the group we have stereotypes about. Some scholars created a two-dimensional model that can define in what ways can our stereotypes lead to different outcomes. So in that two-dimensional model, one dimension is dedicated to the way in which perceive is that other group friendly or hostile towards it. Metaphorically speaking, is that group warm towards us or cold towards us? Mm-hmm. The second dimension refers to our perception of that group as someone who is capable or have a high status, or someone who is incapable and have a low status. And when we perceive a certain group as, for example, warm but have a low status, then we feel paternalistic towards that group. When we perceive that one group is hostile or cold, but have a higher status, we perceive that group through envy. So we envy members of that group. For example, we envy rich people, or we envy people in power, or I don't know, some ethnic groups, for example, Germans, because we perceive them as rich, powerful, influential, but cold and unfriendly towards us. We can also perceive group as unfriendly, hostile, and someone who has a low status. And in that way, we feel rage towards that group, rage and hostility. So, for example, a lot of groups in Balkan region have a mutual feeling of rage and envy in this regard. And finally, when we perceive that a group is warm toward us, it's friendly and has a high status, we perceive that group as something that's admirable, and we admire the members of that group. They are usually our friends and allies. So stereotypes per se do not mean that we will be hostile towards a certain group if we have stereotypes to it, but however, we always have to be cautious when about stereotypes, because we use generalizations about individuals, and we don't perceive someone as an individual as we should perceive that person, and that is simply not okay and not acceptable. So we should not do that anymore.
Yes, I totally agree with you, Navena. And I think that these narratives, and basically there were so many narratives both in both countries, Serbia and Kosovo, and I think it was with the help of media, most of all, because we are used to see only bad stories in the media, where we know that there are also good stories between people who were in the conflict, but still they found the peace, or they found the cooperation. However, we tend to not believe these things and create these stereotypes because maybe we don't see that much. We don't see the good things in the media. We don't see them in front of us. But I think that sometimes it takes a big step forward when we really realize that it's up to us to embrace the reality and not really believe whatever it's served to us. I think also another big component in this creation of stereotypes, the politics had an impact on that as well. Politicians used to spread this kind of not only stereotypes, but also prejudices and maybe propaganda in Kosovo, in Serbia, and therefore it's harder for us to find this common ground. Maybe I would like to mention some of the stereotypes. One of them was we were portraying, well, me as well, because I was raised with the idea that the Serbians are dangerous. And I always had this idea that whenever I will have the chance to go in Serbia, all I would see will be people with guns. And I had this kind of fear. But then I decided to really challenge this stereotype that has been, I don't know, huge for me. So I was in Belgrade in June this year, and all my friends were texting me and telling me, hey, why are you going there? Do you know what? It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. They were trying to grow this fear inside me. However, I was very aware where I was going. And I had this positive attitude that I was aware also of the stereotypes, and I wanted to challenge myself. And when I went there, I had the best time ever, and people were nice. There was a good atmosphere. People treated me nice. There was this woman, when I told her that I'm from Kosovo, she gave me a free drink and all these things. So it was amazing. And then I realized how much impact or influence have people, these narratives created by people. You truly get trapped and you believe in them until you challenge yourself and go there by yourself. So this would really be amazing for each of us, like the youth in Serbia and in Kosovo, to challenge ourselves and go to each other's country and see what it actually is, the truth. Because sometimes I have the impression that we are, both countries are victims of the media, maybe sometimes, not always, but maybe sometimes we are, of the politicians, and yeah, of the narratives that maybe the people that were active, or let's say they were in the conflict, they have another point of view, let's say. But us, the youth, I think we should be very positive, and we should be very tolerant with each other. And I think we should agree that our purpose, mutual purpose, should be peace building. We should build the peace together, and just, you know, really get over these stereotypes and prejudices, because they're not healthy at all.
Yes, I completely agree 100% with everything you said. And what it's also important to mention is that stereotypes, as you said, are part of the grand narrative and are part of the ways in which we are socialized and ways in which our public generally functions and perceives other group. And we, as individuals, have to be brave enough to not only challenge, but actively be against those and actively say, no, I don't want to perceive a member of another group in that way because I don't know them, I haven't met them, or I have met them and they have proved that they're completely different. So what you're telling me is not valid. And another thing that we have to have in mind is that relationships with different groups are something that's not inherently the same all the time. There have been changes throughout the history, and hopefully they will change for future in history. And we know from the fact history teaches us that relationships between people in Serbia and in Kosovo were different in different time frames, and that, of course, stereotypes were different. And we know that for like 1,000 years, people lived in mutual collaboration without any major conflicts, and there weren't any problems. And we know that the problems have started in like the what in history is believed to be a recent time, and like in a couple of 100 years, maybe from 19th century onwards. And like, we have to know that from that point, we have those narratives. I can speak from the Serbian side here, for example. having a picture of Albanians from Kosovo as aggressors, as someone who is out to get us, who is hateful towards our group, and someone who we should fear and fight against whenever we have an opportunity to do it, that which is beyond wrong, and which is something that we should fight for and fight against, not fight for, fight against, and do anything we can to just combat those things and spread knowledge about wonderful people and relationships. And just knowing the fact that the relationships between those two groups were completely fine for 1,000 years can teach us a lot, and can teach us a lot about things in the present, and hopefully things in the future as well. So we can go back to those harmonious times.
Yes, I totally agree. It's very interesting because when you mentioned how we were portrayed from Serbia, from Serbians, let's say, it was the same for us as well. Like portraying Serbs as aggressors, they are coming for us to kill us. I mean, they hate us, they want our territory and all these things. So when you think about it, we were given the same hateful idea. And well, when you think about it, we are not the ones to blame, because when something is really served to you for so many years and very often frequently to you, then you start believing it and you just, you know, put away your rational thinking. But I really have this belief that especially when we come to this point in the common ground that we have been taught, we have been given the same hateful idea, as I said, then we get to come together and fight this, to really fight these narratives, because these narratives should be fought. Because I truly believe in the power of youth to change this. And I think that we have all it takes to change it, and we should do it. And sometimes it takes very little, like you and me doing a podcast.
Just having an open discussion with someone who is from Kosovo about those things, and about maybe not certain necessarily about like mutual historical events, but just like every day-to-day topics, and just see that the people are same everywhere and different everywhere in all ways possible, and like that somebody is from a certain group doesn't necessarily mean much in that sense, that his group's membership defines him as a person. And I completely agree. And actually, that thing that you mentioned, that stereotypes are kind of the same from both sides, is actually empirically proven. There was a study conducted in the 90s, I think 97, and both Albanians and Serbs from Kosovo were part of this study, and they were asked to give the at least three characteristics about their group, so Serbs about Serbs and Albanians about Albanians, and about the other groups, so Albanians about Serbs and Serbs about Albanians. And what data has shown is that when they were talking about their own group, so Serbs about Serbs and Albanians about Albanians, they mentioned almost exactly the same positive characteristics. So they mentioned characteristics as like being hospitable, being brave, being welcoming, being friendly. And when they were talking about negative characteristics, they also mentioned nearly the similar negative characteristics, as like, for example, Serbs about Albanians mentioned that they are unified, but that they are cunning, that they are primitive, that they are tough, but not in the positive way, more in like a rude way. And when it comes to Albanians about Serbians, they mentioned that they were hateful toward other groups, that they were also cunning, also tough in a negative way, that they were opportunistic. So we can see that we almost agree on like the negative characteristics we ascribe to other group, which is kind of which kind of tells in what ways are we both influenced, and in what ways are both groups presented towards to the other group. And yes, I think that that's like having a good examples and actually meeting and talking to people is something that we can do to kind of combat that and fight against those grand narratives and against stereotypes, and more importantly against prejudice, because prejudices are way more detrimental to the group relationships.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, and it's great that you brought this kind of study. And something that maybe I'd like to share with people who will be listening to us is I had this project in North Mitrovica, and we had to write 10 stories, but 10 solidarity stories in this magazine. At first, I was like, how come you can find solidarity stories between Serbs and Kosovars in North Mitrovica? I mean, it's a conflict zone. It used to be exactly the conflict zone. So I was very impressed when I met people who were like brothers and sisters between Serbians and Kosovars. So they were living together. They were sometimes sharing roof together, and they were helping each other in the best way they could. And when I thought about it, I didn't ever see something like this in the media. I had to really go in these places, meet these people, listen to their stories, and then be able to write about them, you know? So I think sometimes, as I said before, it takes us to do the big step, you know, take a step forward and really have the courage to get to the truth by meeting people. Because we shouldn't believe everything that is served to us. By this, I mean the media, all the information that it's given to us. Because as we know, every media has its agenda. They have to go they have to write stories based on that agenda and everything else. So I think it takes us to take the steps and really understand and listen to these amazing stories. Nevena, I was really amazed and impressed how these people live together, and they are still living together and helping each other and just not having these separations between them based on ethnicity. No, not at all. These people are used to live together and just, I don't know, I had the impression that they live like brothers and sisters, and they don't really have any kind of separation between them. And then I have after this experience in this project, I put my hopes so high, and I was like, wow, there is proof that things can literally get better. So I think us, the youth, should use this power that we have, and create this this peace between us. Because in the end of the day, I'm always thinking, would you like our kids, I mean in Kosovo, and your kids in Serbia, to have this conflict going on? Of course not, because then they would maybe judge us and say, you didn't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. And I really liked that experience when you were talking about it. And what I wish to see more when it comes to media in general, more stories like that, because there are real life stories about love, about friendships, about living together, about helping each other, about all these wonderful things that we don't see. We majorly in our media see the narratives, the hate, the negative stereotypes, the stories about, I don't know, Albanians who provoke certain reactions, Albanians who are aggressive, Albanians who do this or that, but we don't hear about those things. And when we don't know about those things, then we only know about those negative things, that's a really easy space to create fear, and unknowing fears feeds fear, and fear then feeds the hate, the discrimination, dehumanization, and the list goes on. It's endless. But what I want to see in media in general is more stories like that, and I hope that will be the focus in the future. I mean, I know it sounds idealistic, but I would really want to see more stories like that. And what else I can recommend all of you who are listening to this podcast to do is to maybe try to look around, speak with people around you in your neighborhood, in your city, town, whatever, and try to search yourself for stories like that, because we all know someone who knows someone who knows someone who has a similar story, I think, at least. And just spreading the stories, spreading the words about them, spreading the love, and spreading the good things instead of the negative things, and focusing on good and positive and all that side is something that can be helpful. So if you want to have a take-home message from this podcast, is don't be afraid to look for good stories, look for positive examples. And another thing that we can also say is try to visit one another. People from Kosovo, you are more than welcome to visit Belgrade and all other wonderful cities and towns in Serbia. And don't be afraid, people from Serbia as well, don't be afraid to visit Kosovo, and don't be afraid to visit Pristina,
yes,
and all other wonderful places, because what that can offer you is not only the opportunity to see wonderful historical and cultural monuments and buildings and sculptures and all of that, but actually meet people and talk to them, see how their everyday life is going, what are their everyday problems, what are their hardships, what are their, I don't know, joys in life, and that can,
yes,
show you, and like actually empirical data again shows that there is in psychology something that's called a contact hypothesis, in which scientists believe that being in contact with a members of other groups will lead you to be more open-minded, less hateful toward other groups. You will be less prone to use stereotypes and prejudice in your everyday lives. And empirical data back up those claims. And many research showed that, for example, people who live in dorms that have many ethnical backgrounds or have roommates with a different ethnical backgrounds are more open-minded and less prone to stereotypes and prejudice. When we talk about those things, we have to say that they don't work all the time. They have to be a certain conditions that have to be fulfilled in order for contact hypothesis to work. Some of those being that people should have the mutual goal and should mutually help one another. Also that they should meet in the overall friendly and informal setting, that the social norms should really support and promote not the hate and not the prejudice, but support of one another and like friendly atmosphere between one another. But when we apply this to real life, what can we learn from that, from those theories and from those researchers, is that contact with members of other ethnic groups are really important. And we advise you to do as much as you can to be in contact with the members, with the people from Kosovo as much as you can, because we think you will benefit from it immensely. And also one of the things that we want to send as a message today is not to be afraid to fight those grand narratives we talked about. Don't be afraid to stand out and to say, no, I don't want to perceive a people from Kosovo in this way. I don't want to believe that all Albanians from Kosovo are like this. I think that being brave in this regard is hard, and it's usually easier to just conform and follow the group. But as you said, that will lead to nothing. And then the next generation will ask as well, why didn't you do something to make things better? So
that is correct.
Try everything you can to make things better. Get yourself informed, get yourself familiar, and try to combat the main narratives, and don't be afraid to do so.
Yes, I totally agree with you, Nevena, and I'm joining you with this message. I just would like to add that please don't be afraid to visit Belgrade. Please don't be afraid to visit Pristina and other cities in Kosovo, other cities in Pristina. I know that we can bring amazing things together. We can cooperate in the best way possible. And when you think about it, we are all citizens of Earth, and we should embrace each other. So I think, yeah, that's what we should do, embrace each other.
Yes, and fight the people who are trying not to, who are stopping us to do that, and who are making us afraid, and who are making us feel the certain way.
Yeah, so one day they will stop. They will stop for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much for this for listening to this podcast. We hope to see you again.
Thank you from my side. Hopefully you enjoyed. And hopefully see you again.